on water flow in trees and also in soils. And I want to acknowledge my co-workers, Sebastian Bittner, Rainer Henschel, and Michael Janot, who did part of this work in their PhD thesis. So the concept is that we want to describe the water flow in the soil-plant continuum. So we want to describe the water flowing from the soil into the roots and then through the stem and later on through the leaves to the air. So the water is moving then through the stomata of the leaves and it transpires from there. The tree is conceived as a build-up of cylinders. So in the roots we have the xylem in the middle. So if we consider the xylem, it's here a cylinder, whereas in the above ground we have a hollow cylinder, and we conceive the flow through the xylem here. And of course we have to describe the tree and the tree architecture, which is represented here by a three-dimensional graph. So what we assume, we want to describe the long distance flow in the tree and the uptake out of the soil. So we describe the long distance flow by Darcy flow. We assume mass conservation. We define the xylem water content in relation to the maximal possible xylem volume in a cylindrical unit. And we also assume that the hydraulic characteristics of these cylindrical units are homogeneous. So we use then the soil water flow equation for the soil in one dimension. So I would say that's Richardson's equation, but I've learned Richardson's equation. So we use that for the one dimensional case in the soil, and the soil is then represented by a line, vertical line, the soil graph. If we then go to the tree, we have a three-dimensional graph, which is built up of one-dimensional lines here, and we solve the Richards equation then on this three-dimensional graph. Note that the gravity term is here defined by an angle. The angle represents the angle between a branch to the vertical stem here, or the twig to the stem. So this is how we then describe the gravity. Otherwise, we have described here the xylem water content and the xylem water potential. So we solve the Richardson equation here for the xylem potential. And also we note that we have also measures on the length of the tree elements. So we have to then define also the boundary condition, and this is here the condition of the radial inflow into the root. It's given by a gradient here between the soil water potential and the xylem potential. It's represented here the root surface area and the conductivity rate. So this gives you then the flow into the root. You could also describe the rhizosphere conductivity, which is then a weighting given by a weighting scheme between the xylem and the soil water potential. On the other hand, we have to describe the boundary condition at the leaves, and this is given by the stomatal conductivity, described here by the maximal conductivity of the stomata, and then the dependence on the xylem potential of the leaf. And so if you have a very low xylem potential, then the stomata will close and we have almost zero stomatal conductivity. And we describe the flow then at the leaf level by the potential transpiration using the stomatal conductivity, and we use that as the minimum between these two flows. The flow Q max is then the flow which is the maximal flow out of the leaf to the air, and this is also given by a gradient here between the leaf potential and the air potential. So what we have to define then for the tree is, of course, also the hydraulic properties, as we know it, similar for the soil. And here we propose a retention curve for the tree, and we relate the water content to the maximal extension of the xylem. The xylem is flexible, so if the tree water is decreasing, we have the xylem diameter is shrinking, and this is represented here by the linear part up to the air entry value, and then the non-linear part can be described similar as in the soil, for example, by the Brooks and Corey parametrization. But the Brooks and Corey in the soil would be from air entry value constant. Here it is a line with a slope, which is given then by the inverse of the elastic modulus of the wood. And this can be used then as the retention curve of the xylem in the tree. For the conductivity, axial conductivity in the xylem, we use the Burdine approach to integrate and get the hydraulic conductivity here with the extra term on the elasticity of the xylem. So when we want to describe the flow in the tree, we need its architecture above ground. We derive that from laser scans. So we can use the three-dimensional picture we get from the laser scans, derive the architecture here above ground. And of course, we also need, because the conductivity depends on the diameters, we also need the diameters of the stem and branches and twigs. For the roots, we developed a root architecture model, and which is represented here. And we fit the root distribution to measured fine root distribution, because the fine roots represent the main area of the roots. So given this as input, we can then simulate the soil matrix potential in the tree. Here it's during midnight, it's a saturated, almost saturated tree, and then during the day it's depleting, especially at the crown area. We get a drier situation. At noon, it's already quite dry. The tree also gets drier in the trunk, and then it reaches its minimal potentials on the crown level. And then during the night, it refills again. So it's almost the initial situation again in the tree. And this we simulate here by the Richardson equation, and then we also tested as a first proof that we can describe the sap flow. So we used the Granier type heat flux measurements on a beech tree, and as proof of principle we could fairly well describe the sap flow in the tree. We also were able to describe different tree species, so the flow in different tree species. Here as an example, the beech tree as a porous, a diffuse porer in the xylem, and the ash tree as a ring porer. So in the beech tree is wetter than the ash tree, and it reaches almost the potential potential transpiration here, given by the black line, and the blue line is the simulated actual transpiration for the beech tree. And for the ash tree, we have measured a lower transpiration, not reaching the potential transpiration, and this is also simulated just by giving the appropriate parameters to the soil, to the tree xylem. And also we were able to then to describe the soil water development dynamics using these different tree species. So in principle we could then can describe the effect of biodiversity on soil water uptake, which we usually have in a mixed deciduous forest. So I want to conclude. We have used the soil structure, which has a significant effect on the tree water usage. The hydraulic architecture strongly influences tree water flow, but I have not directly shown the light model allows a detailed estimation at the leaf level of the transpiration because the stomatal conductivity depends on the light. We have seen the effect that we can describe the effect of biodiversity using physiological and structural properties of the tree, so describing then also the water uptake from the soil depending on the tree species properties. And we also can apply this model to different plant species because there are many parameters available, especially on the woods. The elasticity of wood is something which is very well known by wood engineers. So I will thank you now for your attention, just giving some publications where you can read in more detail how we can set up the water flow in the soil plant continuum. Thanks for your attention.
Thanks very much, Eckhart. Does anyone have questions for Eckhart?
I once did some work with sugarcane, which had big segments in the stem.
Yeah.
Could you adapt your model to model that?
Yeah, it might be possible. So we at the moment we do some research or measurements on maize plants, and it looks like that we can apply our model also in this situation.
Other questions?
How would you characterize the structure of the tree and the architecture of the tree?
Yes, we measure that. We measured it. So here, for example, you have about 100 trees. We have measured that. That's by using laser scans, we get really the three-dimensional picture. And in deciduous forest, you can have it without and with leaves. So you really get the tree structure and the leaves as well.
Okay. Because you said the water uptake from the soil to the radial roots was driven by a pressure gradient, but you showed us a pressure difference, so you multiply the pressure difference with the conductivity coefficient, which is a kind of effective inverse of resistance.
No, it's really Darcy law, because we have here the surface in there, and we also we have a length scale in there because the car air is more a rate, so it has a dimension of per second, so per time, and it's not a conductivity.
Okay, so that's not part of the question.
Yeah.
But the result is then, in your examples, we had the impression that the soil water supply was good for the trees.
Yeah.
At least in this range which you showed, it was blue color. So And the question is, of course, what happens if the soil starts to dry out with the picture, and this case certainly.
This is more interesting. Of course, we had, as often in Germany, the situation that we had usually enough water. In this situation, we have over many years not really a situation where the trees would suffer from water stress. But in the case if it's getting drier, the model also is able to get this situation. It's more difficult, I haven't shown that, because the xylem, because it's shrinking, also this would do for the roots. And then, of course, I don't know really what's happening there with the radial conductivity. Of course, we think about that, and we model that also with the gap, but this is a mere guess what happens. We have no measurements really on the radial conductivity going in there. There's another point of the radial conductivity, because the tree is able to control a little bit the water inflow by the aquaporins, so there's still ongoing research on this point. It's not at the process level, it's not well understood. Similar to the leaf area, the stomatal conductivity is also a very, very simple concept, and we learn that usually if there is a drop in very drop in the air, that the stomata react far too slow that that the water flow would be restricted. So there's something going on where we have to look really into the leaves for this closure of the stomata.
Okay, thanks very much, Eckhart.
Yeah.